The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and other musicians, uncover their life stories, and discover what makes them tick. If you love guitar, music, and the backstory of people's lives, then stick around. You're in the right place. So over the last couple of years, I've received a number of emails and DMs from listeners who've said they'd kind of love to see me interview myself. And while it's very flattering, I am not going to interview myself. But a few months ago, I did put out an email asking listeners if they were interested in sending in some questions for me to answer. Questions about the show, about things we discuss on the show, the non-musical aspect of it, kind of, and about myself. And a number of questions were sent in. So I'm going to start making video responses to those questions. And for now, we're going to call these videos Beyond ELG, and I'm going to have a separate playlist on YouTube for them. So you can go to YouTube anytime, go to the Beyond ELG playlist and listen to these videos. And I'm also going to publish the audio sections of these in the audio podcast as well. And as long as people have an interest in me making these videos, I'll keep making them. So if you want to send in any future questions, all you need to do is go to beyondelg.com and complete the form there. Today, I thought I'd start with the most logical standpoint and one of the most common questions I get, which is, Craig, how did you get started with the podcast and what gave you the drive and the idea to keep pursuing it? Okay, so a little background. I dropped my first episode of Everyone Loves Guitar on August 31st, 2017, and appreciate that I had absolutely no music background at all. I mean, I played saxophone as a kid, but I had no contacts in the industry. I didn't know any guitar players. I had just started playing guitar when I turned 53, okay? And so I had nobody. This was really foreign. I'm not ground. I didn't work for a music newspaper or anything like that. In fact, my career background was completely unrelated. I graduated college as a CPA, believe it or not. And then I got into sales and then I became a financial planner and I ran my own financial planning practice at that time. After about 6 years of doing that, I got into marketing and learning how to write copy, specifically something called direct response marketing and direct response copywriting. And since 2000, I've pretty much made most of my income from consulting with clients in sales and marketing capacity and then writing the copy for them to implement the communication that they need to implement, you know, to get their marketing messages across. As of today, we've done over 920 interviews. And from what I understand, that makes us the largest long-form musicians and artists interview, exclusive interview and talk show. And actually on the podcast side of things, according to a ratings company called Voxalyze, we are in the top 1% of all podcasts out there, which is kind of nice. And I have to tell you, I absolutely love doing the show. And I hope that comes across more than anything else when I am doing these interviews and interacting with people. You know, as a lifelong music fan, I've now met many, many of my own musical heroes, which is really weird. It still sometimes feels odd to me because the context in which I first encountered these people, of course, like everybody listening to this probably is, you know, you're sitting in your room as a kid and listening to your record player or your CD, whatever era you grew up in, and hearing these people. And of course, the thought at that particular point in time of having a discussion with them would have been extremely weird. You know, it would have been totally out of place. So that's been a real joy to me. And the enthusiasm I have about that has not died after, you know, close to 1,000 interviews, actually. Musicians and creative people overall are great to talk to and connect with. They're really comfortable opening up and making themselves vulnerable, probably because they do it in their music all the time. And they're really comfortable sharing stories that are pretty private. And sometimes if you're a listener for a while, some pretty dark stories. And I have learned an awful lot from them. And I've experienced, as a result of this pretty deep interaction, I've experienced a lot of growth, personal growth of my own. And I've also become friends with a handful of my guests. And I mean actual friends, not, you know, where you call each other and text each other during the week, not Facebook friends, which means, you know, pretty much nothing. So it's been a real joy, and it's brought a lot of joy into my life by doing this. And again, I hope that's what shines through. And if you ask me why I think the show works, to me, I think there's probably three reasons. First, I believe we're all in search of meaningful connections. And with the proliferations of cell phones and the distancing, you know, with social media, right? But there's no socialization. Socialization is like sitting in a room talking to somebody, or sitting on a phone talking to someone, or like a Zoom call, or what we do. That's socialization. Looking at your phone is, and reading that someone's angry about something, is not socialization. So I think we are all sort of missing that communication, and hearing other people's emotions allows us to make a connection with what's being said, and it touches us, and myself included. Second, in addition to learning about, due to the nature of the conversation, this isn't about, like, you know, what's your string gauge, you know, which is kind of a running joke. You know, I try to ask questions that are a little different, and they give me a lot of food for thought. You know, I'm always one of these people that feels I'm behind the eight ball, and, you know, someone else has an answer that I don't. And so, you know, hearing these things, I've come to learn that's not true from doing this, but I think we're all in search of more meaning and more answers to help us, you know, push forward in our life. And lastly, I think to some extent, my own approach sort of helps us along, in the sense that I'm not a guy who's ever been starstruck. I mean, I did have a couple of guests on the show. I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I'm talking to them. You know, Robin Trower was one of them, you know, several others. But I'm not a starstruck guy, because I think just because people are at different levels of their life, we all have the same hassles. You know, no matter how much money you're making, you're always worried about money. You know, you're worried about your kids, your parents, your health, their health. You got too much to do and not enough time to do it in, too much on your plate to manage. We're all pretty similar. So I've never been of the viewpoint that, oh, someone's a celebrity, so they don't have any of these things. That's not realistic. And I think that helps when I'm talking to people, they know I'm not like idol worshiping them or something like that. And the other thing is, I don't presume. I have no agenda when I talk to people. I never have. I'm not a guy who's into gossip. I don't watch gossip TV. I like loathe gossip, to be honest with you, because it doesn't educate me. Knowing someone else's misery, I feel empathy for them, but that doesn't push my life further along. So I'm not into gossip. People know that. So that's why I think the show works. To answer the question, why did I start the show? So I have to take you back a little bit and tell you a story that started like in the late 2000s. Around 2009, I actually had a bunch of business and family challenges, and it kind of hit me all at once. And it was like five or six different things, and it was almost like the universe was pissed off at me, you know? And I'm a very strong person, but all these things at once were honestly pretty difficult for me to handle, and I just didn't know what to do. And so for the first time in my life, very first time in my life, and I had a very rough childhood and I wasn't overwhelmed then, but this was overwhelming. It was just dealing with so many things at once. And that was very unfamiliar to me. You know, it was uncharted territory for me to feel overwhelmed. And I don't want to get into what the events are, because that's not what's pertinent to this conversation. But suffice it to say, they were all quite heavy.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
On their own. But through that experience, the kind of person that I try to learn from things. And so the two things that I want to bring up here that were relevant to this, to these lessons were, number one, I needed to start trusting the universe more. And number two, I also realized that I had to start doing something professionally that brought me some sort of sincere level of joy and something that I was emotionally and spiritually aligned with. And those are pretty big things for me at the time because I'd never done that before, you know? So fast forward now to 2017, I'm literally sitting right at this desk. I was playing a white Strat that I had at the time, and I literally heard a voice tell me, "You need to start interviewing guitar players." People have asked me, did I hear that voice out loud or was it in my head? I recall hearing it out loud. Memory is a funny thing though, but either way, it was loud enough that I needed to pay attention to that because I've never heard voices in my life. So it was very random, had no frame of reference. And I was like, but one of the things I promised myself back in 2010 was to trust the universe more, right? I just said that. And so if I'm hearing a voice out loud, that's about as significant an indication of the universe telling me I need to do something as anything could get. So I remembered the promise I made to myself and I said, okay, I got to start doing this. I got to look into this. I have always also been very interested, always my whole life, in learning what makes people tick and in trying to understand people's process of decision making, because I think you can only improve your own process through two ways. Number one, experience of making bad decisions. And number two, listening to somebody else and hearing what they did and then saying, okay, I need to put that in my memory bank because I think that was a good idea. And of course, I've always loved music. I mean, you know, outside of spending time with my wife, music has always been the thing that was, and my kids, that was always the thing that was most near and dear to my heart. And it always made me feel really good. So, and then when I started playing guitar, which is a short while before I heard this message, playing guitar was the first thing in my life that forced me to be present. And it changed my life radically because I enjoyed that feeling of being present and in the moment so much. I started applying it to everything in my life and I stopped doing multiple things at once. I stopped talking and doing something. If some, you know, my wife or one of the kids want to talk to me, I'll finish up what I'm doing and talk to them and vice versa. If they're talking to me, I'm not going to say, oh, keep talking to me while I do this project. You know, just if I'm going for a walk, I'm enjoying the walk, you know, I'm looking around at the birds. So, and nature. So, you know, being guitar had a pretty profound effect. And plus, you have to be present when you're playing guitar. You can't, or any instrument, as everybody or most people listening to, many people listening to this know, you can't be thinking about, you know, your problems while you're playing your instrument. It's not going to be effective. So I said, okay, I'm going to trust the universe on this one. After all, like, what's the worst that could happen, right? And I guess the rest is history. The answer to the question of why do I keep pursuing it is real simple. I love doing it. It makes me feel good. I connecting with people on a regular basis, and it's all positive. You know, we're not getting on the phone talking about politics. We're not getting on the phone talking about war. This is a very positive conversation. So I pursue it because selfishly, I feel great when I'm having these conversations and I meet some really nice people. And like I said, you meet some friends once in a while that you connect with and you stay in touch with. And, you know, as I've gotten older, there's no limit on the number of warmth, joy, and friends you can have in your life. I think they're increasingly, they've always been important, but I think they become, as this digital age goes, and not to sound like an old man, but I think those connections are more and more important, and they're connections that I've learned how to deepen connections with everybody, my wife, my kids. And so this has really been so meaningful to me. I couldn't imagine not doing it. So anyway, I hope you got something out of that. And thank you, whoever sent that question in. And thank you so much for listening. And I will close out with the same thing I close out every day. And that's to remember that happiness is a choice. And that's something I learned much later in life. And it's one of the most valuable lessons I ever learned. But happiness is a choice, so choose wisely. Peace out. I'll see you on the next episode. Hey, so if you like these videos and you want to know when they go live, head on over to everyonelovesguitar.com and just sign up to our mailing list. And also, if you'd like me to make more of them, let me know what questions you want me to answer. And you can do that one of two ways. First is you could just leave some responses, leave the questions in the comments below. Or you could head over to beyondelg.com and complete the form over there. And if you're a musician, composer, or songwriter, and you'd like to know how to start earning royalties and how to get into the lucrative world of music licensing, watch the free video training over at musicreboot.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Everyone Loves Guitar. If you did, make sure you go to everyonelovesguitar.com/subscribe and subscribe to the audio podcast and to our very active YouTube community. And if you have any comments, please write me at everyonelovesguitar.com/hello. We'll see you on the next episode. Until then, make sure you choose happiness, relax, and have as much fun as possible.